We are resuming the interview with Mr. Patrick Chandler at Quebec City. And I wanted to start off the second part of the interview just to finish off a few loose ends, and then we'll go into trying a bit of a French version of your interview. You were telling me a story about some of the wildlife of two types at the elevator. One was whales, the other was the people who drank. So maybe we'll start with the whales.
Okay, actually the stories I have about the whales and the drinking people was in Baie-Comeau. Actually, it was a funny part because in Baie-Comeau, the way it works is some tourists come to Baie-Comeau and they pay to go watch the whales. And the office in Baie-Comeau at Cargill, it was just beside the water, obviously. But the fun part, it was like kind of like in a bay. And in that bay, they had krill. And krill is what the whales eat. So we were paid. Not hours at the time, but you know, our breaks we took to watch the whales eat actually in the bay. So we had a ringside view of whales eating in the bay just in front of our office. So that was pretty neat actually, to see the whales going out and eating just beside where the boats were being loaded.
You were giving me a description earlier on off tape about how the whales how the whales did this.
Yeah, the way they eat. Yeah, it's they do like they go around and around and do like a. You told me it was like a
whirlpool.
Whirlpool. Yeah, they does like a whirlpool. And then after that, they go underneath the whirlpool and they go in the middle of the whirlpool and all the krill get caught in the whirlpool, and then they eat the krill that are caught in the whirlpool. Yeah, that's the way they eat.
Would they come every year, the whales, or like was this rare, or this happened quite often?
It did happen actually, pretty much every year, depending on the time of the year when they go up the St. Lawrence. You saw them pretty much every year, and actually just before I left Baie-Comeau, they were sharks that were found in the bay. They were called, was it Iceland sharks or Groenland sharks? I think it was Groenland sharks. That they found that divers saw in the same bay. So it was kind of a big thing when they finally found those sharks in the bay.
So quite a difference in the wildlife on the eastern system than in the Thunder Bay system.
For sure. We saw how do you say it in English? Not sea lions, but dolphins? Not dolphins, no.
En français, qu'est-ce que c'est en français?
C'est des phoques.
Oh, seals.
Seals, yeah. Seals. We saw a lot of seals also in Baie-Comeau or Port-Cartier, places like that, yeah.
Do you think they were attracted to the grain or to the grain dust?
The sharks, I don't think so. Because the sharks didn't eat meat. Those are vegetarian sharks. Mm. But whales, what they ate, the krill, are small like shrimp. And I think they do ate the dust of the grain, actually. Mm. That's why the krill went there, and that's why the whales went there. Mm. The fun part also with the whales is that the shipping gallery was, I don't know how many feet high, it was very high, and it was fun to go in the gallery and look down in the bay, because you saw in the water and you can see the whales like swimming in the bay, going around the bay and eating. We had the ringside view, that was a better view than in the office actually.
did anybody ever take a video of this?
Nope, never.
Maybe that's something you could try to arrange, because it'd be a great visual to have with your...
I'm thinking there probably still whales there, but I didn't ask the last time I went, but I could ask,
That'd be great. Yeah, good.
Try it out.
Now, one theme that comes up whenever we talk to people who work close to the elevators, or in them, is the incidence of drinking in an elevator and how it's changed over time. So
yep.
What have you got to say about it?
That's another thing I saw, like when I was working in Bicom, when I started working, the older guys that were working there. Actually, they did so many hours, so many time passed at the company at Cargill that they drank at work. There were lockers filled with alcohol. I didn't see it, but I heard about it that they had alcohol in their lockers. There were stories also that was one guy that was supposed to give a boat water, and in exchange he wanted a bottle of whiskey or vodka, whatever what they had. So when he got his bottle, then he gave the water to the boat. And the story that says also that the guy was on the boat loading the boat, and he drank while he was loading the boat. And when he went to come get off the boat, he had to took the gangway. He was so drunk that he had to go out on his hands and knees on the gangway to get off the boat and go on the dock.
Things have changed, though, I understand, from those days.
I recently went to Baie-Comeau, and even in Quebec, I never heard or even saw stories about workers drinking while working. So it's, generation change. Mm-hmm. But the new generation now doesn't tolerate as many hours as the older workers did tolerate the hours. The younger generation for sure don't want to do like their parents and work all their life at work, and no play night, only work. That's another big difference, I think, with the generation that's coming in right now, is they don't want to do as much hours work.
So any other stories that you'd like to have sort of recorded
for sure,
highlights?
I have maybe three good stories, but they never happened in Quebec, actually.
No, let's hear them.
Sadly, they never happened in Quebec. I would have to say my first story is same thing. I was in the Baie-Comeau office. The office was on second story, second on the in the building, second, you know, story building, second
mm-hmm.
story building,
second story.
Yeah, and we were looking out. I was looking out the window, and there was one guy, one worker that was cleaning his loader, bay loader, with a fireman's hose. And the pressure of the hose is enormous. It's very high, and he was cleaning his loader with the hose, and he went to step closer to his loader, and when he stepped a little bit closer to his loader, well, the hose wasn't long enough, so the hose went kind of straight, and when it went straight, it gave him a little nudge, and when he got the nudge, he lost control of the the hose, and he fell on his back, and the hose went crazy, eh? And he tried to catch the hose, but he noticed very rapidly that he couldn't get his hands on the hose, but he was wet all over, and he lost his helmet. He was, you know, water everywhere. He was wet, and I was up in the window, and I was laughing so hard. And he kind of glanced, but he wasn't sure. But so he went to close the water down, but he was, wet. And he got in his loader, and he went in front of the windows, because when I saw that, I told my coworkers, come and see this. So we were the three guys in the windows applauding the guy passing in the pay loader. And he didn't look. He saw us, but he didn't look. He only took his hand like that and said, "Oh, never mind, you guys." He didn't even look at us. This one was one of the funny stories that happened, actually, in Baie-Comeau. The other stories I have is there was one guy, like I said before, that came from Thunder, from Winnipeg. He worked for 3 months, Merle Pankovich, with us. And we had to go in the elevator, so we always have to lend him equipment to go in the elevator for safety reasons. And we got up on a conveyor that was maybe, I don't know, 3 feet high. And when we came to get off the conveyor, he just opened his legs, and he wanted to put his foot on the ground. And when he came to put his foot on the ground, he tore his pants from the knee to the crotch. So he was a very shy guy also, so it was funny because he passed the whole day on, you know, working on his desk. He didn't go on his desk, and when he did, he grabbed his pants so he could hide the hole.
So some of the less serious accidents of the working in the elevator. The hose.
Yeah, the hose was one of the funny parts of the...
And the third one? The third story?
The third story was with my old supervisor in Bécomo. His name is Renaud Bourguin. He's now working in Montreal. We have a machine that's called a carter that is used to clean the grain from dockage. The machine was plugged in, and the machine didn't have a ground. So what happened is the machine was just beside the window in Bécomo in the office, and the window had metal on the window. We noticed that when we put the hand on the carter and put the hand on the window, we had like a short, you know, a little. And I was just starting working actually in Bécomo, and the way it worked is I was sitting at my desk, and just in front of me I had the carter, and I had the Renard came in, and another worker with us is Raymond Pouillot that works here. He wanted to show Renal, the supervisor, that they have a problem with the short. So instead of just seeing him, he wanted to show him, you know, how wide is the electricity. So he said he wanted Renal to put his hand on the machine, and that touched the window. But the thing is, Renal already had his hand on the carter before touching the window, but Raymond didn't know. So when Renal touched the window, he got a short, and he jumped about 3 feet in the air. It was like, he was, you know, hitting his arm because he thought that the electricity was going through his arm. I don't know what happened. It was so funny when he yelled, and I was sitting just in front of him, and I laughed. I laughed all day. Every time I saw his face, I was laughing. That's funny, that story it was. And I still laugh when I tell that story.
So he... there was no problem convincing him that there was a problem with the machine.
No. He only thought that Raymond tried to kill him. I don't know what he thought. Really funny story.
I think we've pretty much finished all of these questions here. If you want to take a look at your list there and see if there's anything that you've made a note beside that you haven't had a chance to say.
No, I think we pretty much...
Okay.
I do have actually other stories about all inspectors, but there was one story that one inspector made a bed underneath the bench work. He slept underneath the bench.
He didn't want to to get too far from his work in case he was called.
Exactly, that's what I was
concerned. That must have been it, right?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit over lunch about the possibility of setting up a national grain center focusing on the export grain trade in Thunder Bay. If we did that, or if we were successful in doing that, what parts of the stories do you think would be most important to tell people?
Good question. I think what would be interesting for people, I think, that would visit the center, just the history, all the history, the one of the biggest that you said to me when we were having lunch, the biggest elevators in a group in the world. Maybe that's something big that some people pretty much don't know. Same thing for the quality of Greek and Indian grain. That's another thing I think that people don't know, and I think it would be very, very important that we conserve that reputation. Actually, it's just speaking about that. The stories, for sure, like explosions. If you think about some explosions that would be interesting, more interesting for the younger people, that elevators can explode, and when they do, usually it's pretty bad, because we saw like one video actually in 60 Minutes that showed the way elevator explodes. And the way it works is when you have the first explosion in the bin, that's not the biggest one, and it's not the most dangerous one, because usually when there was one bin explodes, what it does is it's going to shake all the structure of all the elevator, and you're going to have a fine dust, and that's going to be a big do a big fireball, and then it's going to explode another bin. That's the biggest explosion that you can get. Because they also told me that I was pretty much impressed about that, is that grain dust is more dangerous than dynamite. And that for me, I didn't know it was for safety reasons as dangerous as that.
You were mentioning as well explosion in Halifax. Do you recall when that happened
It
and what was
happened
the situation?
maybe, yeah, I think it happened maybe 7 to 8 years ago in Halifax. I only saw the paper clips. I didn't really all know the story, but what I heard is one of the bins exploded. But I don't remember all the facts because it's pretty long ago. But I remember that they had pieces of concrete in the houses, and even on your, you could wake up in the morning and have a big piece of concrete on your lawn. It's because the elevator is so close to the town, actually. Same thing, a couple of places that the elevators are very close to the town. Same thing for Quebec. See, if a bin would explode, there's a lot of people close by, and same thing for Sorel. I think Bécomo was very far, Port-Cartier is very far. Trois-Rivières is pretty close, so we have a couple of elevators that are close to the people, and that's another fact maybe that people would like to know, is how dangerous it could be. Probably don't help for the sales of houses, but
Well, and there has been over time. I don't know whether you've noticed a change at all, but certainly previously, housekeeping in elevators didn't used to be the best. And it's a serious thing. It's not just the people are neat freaks.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's why the Canadian government, with the help of Agriculture Canada, they developed a system for inspecting elevators for actually dust and stuff like that. And that's why, well, because I worked for a year and a half as an entomologist, and I did the elevator inspections on the St. Lawrence, and actually that's one of the things I had to check, actually was the dust, and don't have a too many amount of dust accumulated on the structures, and even bugs, because bugs, when they are together, they can make a big ravage on the grain. That's the thing with bugs, is some bugs eat good grain, some bugs eat dust, some bugs. So that's why that's the one we checked the most, was the primary bugs, to know, because they can do a lot of the damage. And because I saw it in Bécomo, they had big pockets of infestations in the grain. There was a big problem with that, because that gonna heat the grain, and gonna have problems of heated grain, and they did have problems with heated grain because of the infestation.
How do bugs heat grain? Like what
Like
happens? That's
they do
the
pockets, and they eat the grain, and like this, it builds up the heat when they eat and they move around and stuff like that. So.
Were all the elevators pretty much the same as far as attention to detail related to bugs
Cleanliness? No.
and cleanliness?
No,
No.
no, no. In the days I work as an entomology, Trois-Rivières was a big problem, because they didn't get a lot of grain, and they kind of didn't bother with the cleanliness, but I had a lot of problems with Trois-Rivières. Same thing, Prescott, a lot of problems with bugs. No, for sure, they didn't have the same safety types or proud of their cleanliness. No. Some places were really clean though, like Port-Cartier was really clean, even Bungie was really clean, Cargill was very clean also, so it was easy to inspect it.
So leadership would be an issue. Person in leadership role took it seriously. Probably
well,
was shown in the.
It was the director of the elevator actually that we had to deal with and try to find ways to clean. And some elevators didn't want to pay guys to clean actually. Even there were people not working for the elevator that came in to clean the elevators. And
mm-hmm.
some elevators are not well built in the sense that. It was hard to reach places, you know, if you could have under conveyors and stuff like that. And a lot of workers didn't want to go in those places.
Yeah. Just like everywhere.
Mm.
Yep, some houses are nice and clean and some aren't.
There you go.
Yep. if you come across, as you travel from one elevator to another, if you come across pictures, sort of historical pictures of their operations, any blueprints or things like that, especially if they are planning to throw them out. Would you just sort of keep track?
I'll take a note.
Yeah, because even if we don't take possession of them, because we don't have a spot to put them in, but if they're going to get tossed in the garbage, we'd rather have them than not, or at least have a chance to say, well, toss them in the garbage, where there's nothing we can do about it.
I have some small pictures here, but I have another picture also of the Prescott elevator.
Okay, great. Are there other people you think we should interview?
For sure, if you could get your hands on the retired people.
Okay, do you have some names, or can you send me some names?
I could send you some names.
Okay, if you would make a note of that too,
yeah.
And send me some names. Because normally it's been the retired people that we have interviewed. We find that they sort of look back and feel a little bit more comfortable talking about their careers after they retired.
Probably. And
okay.
they did work for maybe 20, 30 years for their grain business also.
Yeah.
So that's,
yes. Although I'm surprised from our interview, in my interview with you, is how much you saw change in what has been a relatively short time compared to some of the fellows
oh, yeah.
90 years old that we interviewed. I just want to check on some spellings. Was it you who gave me Toskovich? That must have been Stefan.
Toskovich, no.
Okay. Pinkovich?
Pinkovich, yeah. That
how's
was
that, how is that spelled?
P-A-N. Kovich, the same thing as a witch. Pinkovich.
C-O or K-O?
K-O. Kovich.
K-O-W-I-C-H?
Yeah.
And what was Pinkovich's first name?
Merrill.
Merrill? M-E-R-Y-L?
M-E-R-I-L. Merrill.
E-R.
M-E-R-L, yeah.
Merrill.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ramon?
Pouliot.
Spelled?
P-O-U-L-I-O-T. Ramon is R-A-Y-M-O-N-D.
Okay.
Ramon.
Thank you.
Yes.
I oftentimes forget to ask these questions, and then I'm one of the people who does transcripts. And I'm thinking, how in the world do you spell that name? Okay.
And that was Renal Boulian or so? I don't know if you got that name.
Who was that?
Renal Boulian.
Oh, yes.
Renal. It's R-E-N-A-L-D. Boulian, B-O-U-L-E. No, I, sorry. I-A-N-N-E.
Oh, that's
an
unusual one. Okay. Good. So, let's call it quits here for this one, and then we're going to do a quick en français.
Oui.
Okay.
Je suis prêt.